Well, good evening once again. This is John St. Germain broadcasting live from Chateau St. Germain, somewhere in the sacred ether plane. And tonight's topic is crystal visions. We're going to explore the art of scrying. This is, of course, the most important branch of crystal gazing. This is gazing into the crystal ball for divination purposes. It is also the most difficult. And I'm going to tell you that very few people get very, very, very good at crystal ball divination, and those who do have put in a great deal of effort and time. We are going to discuss many, many topics of scrying and divination, and so for this you will need, of course, a crystal ball, and you will need a shiny surface of some sort. So we will, as usual, take a small and very short musical intermission. And while we do that, please go get your crystal ball, shiny object of some sort. Barring that, of course, a glass of water will do, or a mirror will also wait on this. So please come back and join us. And we're back. That, of course, is Keith Jarrett. I wish I could play that whole thing for you. It's 14 minutes long, though, and that would be half my show. So we are back, and we're going to discuss divination with crystal balls. I would like to discuss a few other things, too, though. We got a lot of emails and private messages and Ouija board messages about some of the previous shows. People had some questions about some things, so I would like to address those. People are listening to the archival shows. In fact, we had 52 live listeners and 302 listenings to the archives, which is kind of cool. It's like time travel, sort of. So that's kind of groovy, I think. And so that's very cool. A lot of people have wondered about the projection techniques as developed by our founder, Mr. Conlon. And I would like to address that. People have said they practice projection and they're not quite sure how to do the projection. I mentioned that I read a long time ago a book, a very funny little book by Florence Shovel Shinn called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And that always amused me because it said the game of life and how to play it, not how to win it. And most of the motivational books say how to win, be a winner, be a loser. I always hated that winner or loser crap because, you know, I think most of those guys would consider me a loser because I never really had any ambition to become much of anything. But I do think that purity of intent is very important. You have to have a very specific intent, and I'll tell you why this is necessary. I have spoken many times. People have contacted me about helping them achieve a goal, you know, as a root worker, as a reader. They said, yeah, I'd like to have someone in my life. And I said, well, tell me about the person you'd like to attract in your life. Well, I just want someone. I said, well, what are the characteristics of this someone? And they'll say, well, I just want someone to make me happy. And I say, okay, that's a good start. Happiness is a good goal. So how is this person going to make you happy? What characteristics will make you happy? Well, you know, I don't know. I just want to be happy. Well, what would make you happy? You know, what? How do you see yourself happy with this person? Well, I don't know. I just want to be happy. Okay, so tell me what makes you happy. Well, I don't know. I just want to be happy. So tell me what happiness is to you. Well, you know, happy. And you see, how can you ask for something when you don't know what it is? So when you do your projection work, you really have to know what it is you're asking for. And I don't mean asking for a specific person. A lot of people will ask for, you know, say, oh, my God, this guy, Adam. I got to have this guy, Adam. Or, you know, I got to have this woman, Jill. I got to have her. And maybe you're not meant to have that person. And this is one of the things that Florence Shovel Shield pointed out, that sometimes you can't ask for a specific thing that specifically, but she said that there were things out there that were meant for us, set aside. There's a storehouse, imagine a warehouse out there that's labeled my stuff, and that's the stuff you ask for. And I know this works because I've worked routes for people to get a specific somebody, and they've worked with great intense effort to get a specific person. And then they'll say, oh, John, my gosh, you know, I saw him on Facebook. He's with some other woman. And I said, but, you know, your work was showing such positive results. They sent out such an attractive force, such an amazing attractive force. And it was such a wonderful thing. And then a few weeks later, they would be, this one case 2 months ago, she said, you're not going to believe this, but I was at the bookstore in the spiritual section, and I turned around with an armload of books and bumped into this guy who was looking over my shoulder at the same book I was, and the books went everywhere, and he helped me pick them up, and we just started talking, and, you know, we're dating now, and it's just like, oh, we were meant for each other. So you see, the attractive force she sent out for the wrong guy brought in the right guy. You see, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? You know, so sometimes you ask for one thing that you think you really, really, really want, and if she had brought this guy in, you know, he had been two-timing her with this other woman, and, you know, he would have been, a scumbag, really. He was two-timing her with another woman, so what kind of relationship would that be? But she brought in this other wonderful guy. So intention is very important, and that brings me to the subject someone else asked, how does this work? You know, how do luck spells and their opposite, jinxes, work, for instance? And these things are opportunistic. I know a lot of root workers will not do jinxes. You know, they're called lady-hearted workers, and some of them are ladies. But a justified jinx, I have no problem with. I have no problem with people who do justified jinxes. You know, if somebody is an abusive spouse, you know, he's an alcoholic, he's beating his wife and kids. And I will tell you that I know people who do jinxes, and they build in a chance for redemption. If the person changes their way, the jinx will not hold. But the way, let's say, a jinx works, if a person is a drug addict, the jinx is going to make it likely that they overdose. If the person is a glutton, they'll develop diabetes or high cholesterol. If the person is a criminal, they'll make choices that will put them in dangerous situations that will get them shot. You see, it's not like a rock falls out of heaven and drops on them. That's just not, it's opportunistic. That's how spirit work works. Now, start thinking about this in terms of our projection work and our attraction work. It's opportunistic. So when you do a fast luck spell or a luck spell, luck attraction, it's not going to cause a winning lottery ticket to fly into your hand. And my grandma used to say, you got to sit on the sofa a long time with your mouth open before fried chicken flies into it. But it will cause you to intuitively and instinctively make decisions that will increase your chances of luck. You'll just find yourself in fortunate circumstances. Luck is a matter of timing, of planning, of being in fortunate circumstances, being in the right time at the right place, and the luck attraction stuff will cause that to happen. It won't cause the clouds to open up and gold coins to fall. it'll just cause you to instinctively find opportunities. You know, root work and magic is opportunistic, and this is what a lot of people don't realize. You know, they think it will cause some magical event to occur, like it does in the movies. You know, it will create wealth or create the perfect partner, but it won't. It will just cause the person looking for you and you looking for them to create situations where you'll run into each other. And so that's really how this sort of stuff works. And, you know, I hope that answers the questions that has come up. Now, I would like now to discuss some of the work with crystal balls. But now it's time for us to look at this week's prayer list on the Crystal Silence League website. As you know, we are a prayer service. Prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League website. And we have some that I would like to do. So those of you who do join us in prayer and well wishes for those who need it, let us do this. If you use your crystal balls for this, by all means do that. And those of you who just use prayer and good intention, let us do that. So here we go. And our first prayer is prayer ID number 32634 AD. And this is a prayer for healing. And it's a prayer to heal L's marriage. It's a prayer AD praying to heal L's marriage. And let good things happen between her and her husband. And let communication flow between them. Let that please happen. And prayer ID number 32633 BR to heal her relationship. And bring her man, who left nearly 2 years ago, to have the courage and faith to move back with her. We do hope that they do come back together if it's meant to be. And prayer ID number 32632 AC to remove and uncross all curses and bad luck from her life. Please remove all bad and negative forces in her life. May she be uncrossed. May all obstacles be removed and replace them with good and positive energies. And prayer ID number 32631, who identifies herself as child of God. Just protection for her children, loved ones, and self, and the restoration of health, prosperity, peace, and joy. And prayer ID number 32629, KR. She says, please pray for her family, help to expedite the divorce case, and improve the finances. And prayer ID number 32628, SG. Please pray for her finances, for she and Jay, and remove them from debt and restore their healthy finances. Prayer ID number 32624, JK, who suffers from coughing and sweating, a disease that causes sweating and coughing. And he says, please heal him and all other sufferers of this ailment. Prayer ID number 32623, no description, AT. Please accept the offer on the house. This is an opportunity that she needs to start the new life with the kids. May it be so. Prayer ID number 32622 on the relationships between SM and JM. Please pray for their relationship, that they resist temptation, and that they join together in a healthy relationship. This is prayer ID number 32621 SL. It needs a new car as soon as possible to help with their job and with their finances. Please help as soon as possible. Prayer ID number 32620 SL. In need of a new job very desperately. Please help that happen as soon as possible. Prayer ID number 32619 SS. Needs financial blessings very badly to help improve their home and their living conditions. And this is prayer ID number 32618, AD. Please heal their marriage and heal Liz's marriage. Let her and her husband fall in love and be together again. Please heal the situation. Prayer ID number 32617, AM. Please give JP the strength to conquer his addiction. And prayer ID number 32616, he asks for prayers that Gurnick Academy accept his religious vaccine exemption so that he be accepted to school. and prayer ID number 32615 EB. A prayer for him and his ex to reunite despite the financial circumstances standing between them. Please may they be together. Prayer ID number 32614 JG. Praying for her boyfriend and herself. May obstacles be removed keeping them apart. And prayer ID number 32613 AO. Prayer for herself to recover after some surgery to mend her mind and her body after the surgery. And we have a prayer number 32610DH-G. For removal of curses, may she be uncrossed, and may she find a place to stay, and may she keep a good man. May all these difficulties be removed. May the curse be broken. May the spell that was placed upon her be removed, and may she be uncrossed. Prayer ID number 32609LR. May you regain your hope, LR. May you regain the strength and inspiration to carry on. Prayer ID number 32608NA. May you have the wisdom to make good decisions, and may you gain discernment to get the guidance and security that you need. Prayer ID number 32607. We will pray for financial help for you very soon. May you have money to pay your bills. And lastly, prayer number 32605EC. May you and your true love soon find each other. May it be so. Amen. Now we'll turn our eye to the work of working with crystal balls. I'd like to discuss the idea of the color of the crystal balls, colored crystals. And according to Mr. Conlon, the colors of the crystal balls can be quite important. I'd like to read to you from his book, Lessons, Codes, and Instructions for Members of the Crystal Silence League Concerning the Color of Crystal Balls. He says, to the work, you have fine abilities for success which you have not yet used. Pull off the shroud of doubt and unbelief and behold them. Now believe and use them. He does encourage us. You need new friends, new life objectives, new health, new outlets for your nature. Now this is very true. You really have to want to change to make this work, and I know a lot of people will call me, and I realize I don't really want to change. I'll say, you have to do this work, you have to do this, and go, well, can you do it for me? And I'll say, I can help you. I can do some of the work to augment, but you do have to make a change. You have to get up and change. They go, well, I don't really want to do that. And if, unless you want to change, you're not going to really attract new things into your life. You have to have a burning desire to bring these changes into your life. So he says, let us work for results now, employing mental induction with a crystal ball. And now he describes the crystal ball to use. Select a crystal ball that is either comfortable to hold in your hand, a 2-inch palm ball, and that's my favorite one to use, or that will remain steady on a stand, a 3-inch table ball. A crystal ball carved from plain or patterned semi-precious stone may eventually prove of value to you in your work. But for now, I would like you to acquaint yourself with a simple sphere of crystal glass. If you wish to focus on works of a singular kind, you may select a color that resonates and harmonizes with your thoughts. Here are some favorites. Clear crystal. The universal sender and receiver, this is the ideal all-purpose crystal ball and the easiest to work with in a variety of circumstances. Let not its clarity deceive you. However, it is the greatest ball for long-distance work. And that is the one we use in the Crystal Silence League to project our healing thoughts. Aqua or blue crystal. Health, spirituality, tranquility, peace. The aqua or blue crystals are the most receptive hue, but not as easy to use in sending. For due to their serenity and passivity, they transmit only the gentlest of peaceful thoughts. I use them on my healing altar. Red crystal. Love, sexuality, action, adventure, blood. It requires a great deal of passion to send with the red crystal, but as a receiver, it is a great strengthener of both the physical and the spiritual heart of those who look into its depths. Green crystal. Bountiful harvests in the material world. Money, luck, wealth. As a receiver, the green crystal warms to its task when surrounded by golden coins. As a sender, it requires a generous soul who cares not for personal gain. Yellow, honey amber, or purple crystal, success, career, personal power, travels, and legal matters are strengthened by the operation of these crystals. They are good senders and receivers, second only to the clear crystal for versatility. Black crystal. Just as darkness follows daylight, so does the midnight crystal absorb all negatives and reverse all evil. The ultimate receiver, nothing escapes its sable imprisonment. As a sender, it demands the exercise of masterful will. So those are the colored balls. I'd like to add some of my own thoughts to that. Red is very good for love. I find pink is good, too. Red is a very hard sender, as he says, but pink is much easier to send with. And you'll find red is a very great receiver. Pink is a better sender. As for honey amber, it's a wonderful tool for scrying. The black crystal is very good for scrying. Now, you'll notice he says that it, the black crystal absorbs all negatives and reverses all evil. That is, we will address that later, because one of the questions I got was, can you attract negative entities with a crystal? And in a little while, we will take some calls. And the call-in number is 213-325-3434. Do dial 1 to raise your hand, and that will set a little blinking light a light, and I'll call you. The number is 213-325-3434. And, oops, I'm sorry, I just gave the wrong number. The guest call-in, I'm sorry, is 657-383-0525. 657-383-0525, and dial 1. When it says 1, it raises your hand. I'll pick you up on the phone, and we'll take some of your questions. And when we do that, we'll be discussing the whole idea of can crystal work attract, since it attracts so many things, will it attract demons, devils, negative energies, and negative things? And that's a very good question, which we shall address. Anyone who does spiritual work should think about the idea of cleaning, discharging energies, negative energies, and spiritual protection. This is a topic I'm surprised more people haven't talked about, really. If the thought is in your mind and you project it out, then yes, you can. So this is why I always say preface every projection with a meditation of clear intent. If you don't pick up your crystal randomly, and you don't pick it up casually. You don't pick it up after you watch the Fox News, for instance, you know, with your mind filled with trash and projected out there. You may summon Wolf Blitzer to your door, and oh no, none of us want that. So you always preface a crystal session with meditation of clear intent. You don't want to be thinking about, you know, gosh, am I going to summon a negative entity? Am I going to summon a negative entity? Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And then because if you're doing that, if you're sending out this thing, the love of my life, you're out there. The love of my life, you're out there. Find me. Find me, love. Find me, love, negative entity. 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 You see? This is like when you're working with tools. If you're working with a wax doll, for instance, you know, root workers, I know many of you listening to this are root workers. If you're doing doll work, it's the same thing. You have to have clear intent. Wax remembers. And if you're making a wax doll, and let's say you're making a wax doll for that very purpose, a jinx, for instance, and you're making a jinx for your ex-husband, your ex-wife, or you're contracted to make a jinx, and you're given a name and a personal concern, and you're thinking, John Smith, John Smith, this is you. This is you, John Smith. But you're mad at your brother because he owes you money, or you're mad at your spouse because you had an argument with him. You're thinking, John Smith, this is you. This is you. Oh my God, I'm so mad at him. Oh my God, I'm so mad at my spouse. Oh my God, I'm so mad at my son. The wax is going to remember it, and any jinx work you do on the doll, you see, the wax remembers it. Salt remembers. Crystals remember. So you don't go into this stuff, and this is what terrifies me, that so much of this is on the internet, because you have amateurs doing this work, and they do it casually, and some of them may actually have some talent, and they're throwing this stuff around, and they're not doing it with clear intent. And I know this is the case because people will contact me and say, "Oh my God, I want to put a hex, I want to put a curse, I want to put a jinx on this evil bitch." And I say, "Well, what did she do, honey? She stole my boyfriend. I want to kill her." I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Oh my God, well, do you know someone who will? I'll pay you a lot of money. You're not going to get spiritual intervention on someone who stole your boyfriend or your girlfriend. This is not a justified cause. It really isn't. And you're not going to be able to get good spirit work on that. I'm sure there are dark forces or somebody, something out there that will do that, but, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get involved into something like that. But, people like this are going to find someone who will, or they're going to try it themselves, and they're throwing stuff out there, and, they may attract something. There are lots of stuff bouncing around out there. So you have to find a way to find your intent clear. And you also have to avoid, I want to always be positive with it, but let's say the internet is filled with people who are 90-minute experts. They've been in the field for 90 minutes, and they'll get on Facebook and everywhere else, and now they're grand mages, and they're willing to do anything for anybody. And, they buy a deck of Lenormand cards a week ago, and now they're doing readings for money, these people. You got to be very careful. You have to be very, very careful with this stuff. And that's why your intent has to be clear. This is why I think meditation is very, very important. One of the best things you can do is if you buy a crystal ball from Lucky Mojo Company, a $7 ball or above, you get a free copy of the Personal Lessons, Codes, and Instructions for members of the Crystal Silence League, which is normally a $5 book, I believe. And you should also pick up Crystal Gazing, Lessons and Instructions in Silent Influence with the Crystal by Claude Conlon. And these books, if you do the exercises in them, will help you very much. Now, I guess Claude Conlon describes not just a way of doing crystal gazing, but also a lifestyle, a disciplined lifestyle. He describes diet, exercise. Actually, he even goes into sex. He even talks about proper application of sex energy, because the life of a magician, the life of a sorcerer, requires that your energy, your personal energy, be disciplined. And if you dissipate your energy through drug abuse, drinking, and sexual impropriety, you will not be able to clear your intent and focus it properly. And I'm not talking about a celibate lifestyle by any means, but in fact, the cultivation of your sex drive actually helps your magical powers. But it's got to be a proper cultivation of your sex drive, a disciplined cultivation of your sex drive. And this is a topic of another show. But I do suggest you get these books and read them very much. So scrying. Let's talk about scrying. Scrying is a very, very, very ancient form of gazing, and it predates even crystal balls. The ancients used gazing pools of water, scrying mirrors, and I would like to discuss, there's so many things I could discuss with this. The ancient Greeks had a scrying tunnel that was supposed to connect to Hades called a necromantium. And this was a tunnel that was lined with dark mirrors. It was very dark, lined with mirrors that were angled away from you so you couldn't see yourself. And running water It was next to running water, so the water was reflected in the mirrors. And because it was dimly lit and you went through this tunnel, you could hear the rustling of the water, which is the whispering of the spirits in Hades, and you could see them in the mirrors. Well, the psychomantium, or the necromantium, gave rise to the psychomantium, which was much used by a very interesting man named Raymond Moody, who we'll talk about in a minute, who wrote a book called Life After Life. And a psychomantium you can make yourself. This is simply a mirror, and you should use a fairly good-sized mirror, at least 3 feet by 2 feet, but bigger is better. And you set this in a darkened room, and you angle it upward so that it reflects upward. You do not want to see yourself in it, but you want it in a dark room, dimly lit. You can put a candle behind it, a very small candle behind the mirror. The room should be dark. You should be sitting in front of the mirror, but not where it reflects you, but you want to be able to see into it. Then you gaze into this mirror, and you wait. And the psychomantium will show you visions, usually visions of spirits. It's sort of a do-it-yourself spirit medium. Now, Raymond Moody, who wrote a book in 1975 called Life After Life, experimented a great deal with crystallomancy, or scrying. And he stared into a black mirror. Now, he was a psychiatrist who invented the term near-death experience. If you've ever heard NDE or near-death experience, Raymond Moody invented it. He documented a case, over 50 cases of near-death experiences, and wrote a book called Life After Life, documenting them, which I read with great intensity as a young man. And he experimented with past life experiences. And he used a black mirror, a black scrying mirror, and crystal balls, and the psychomantium. And to this day, in Alabama, he has an institution. You can find it on the internet. Look at Raymond Moody, where you can go and get a session with him, and he'll take you into a psychomantium room with a huge black mirror and sit in the room and give you a guided experience. And he does grief counseling, where you can go into this room and visit with deceased relatives. They will come out of the mirror and talk to you. Or you can do it yourself. And he'll also sell you psychomantium mirrors that are autographed. They're kind of cool. They're just really ornate mirrors that you set up in your room with a candle, and he gives you instructions and things, and you pay $300 for a mirror that you can get for about $25 or $30, you know, at Kmart or somewhere. But the psychomantium, you sit in the room in a chair or in front of it, looking in the mirror that's angled upward at such an angle that it reflects darkness, and you wait. And I guarantee you that if you wait long enough, you will see things, and you will see spirits, and you will see past lives, and you will see all sorts of things. I don't recommend you do this by yourself the first time you do it, because it will freak you the fuck out. I did it the first time, I think, when I was... oh, gosh, I was in my 20s, I guess. I did it after I read Life After Life, so I guess I had to be 75. I would have been 15. No, I was about 17 or 18, I guess, when I read it. And I said, man, I got to do some of that. So I set it up in my garage, and I sat. And my great-grandmother started talking to me. And I think I peed a little, so it will freak you out. And I was a person who was involved in things like that. It was so clear and so intense and so pure. And that was one of my very first experiences with lucid scrying. More on Raymond Moody. I'll tell you that he stared and stared and stared into this black mirror to the point where his first wife and his children apparently had him committed to a mental asylum. So this was part of the price he paid for that, and I think when he was in the asylum, he formed some of his theories. Now, I'll tell you that I collected some quotes here. On the basis of his collection of cases, there's a common set of elements in near-death experiences. An overwhelming feeling of peace and well-being, including freedom of pain, the impression of being located outside of one's physical body, floating or drifting through darkness, sometimes described as a tunnel, becoming aware of a golden light, encountering and perhaps communicating with a being of light, having a rapid succession of visual images of one's past, experiencing another world of much beauty. Now understand, that this is kind of common now, but he was the very first one to document this. And, you know, now there's all sorts of movies and television shows about people with this sorts of this sort of experience. And let's see what I got here. He does believe that people did get through the psychomantium, they got a glimpse into the beyond. And my own experiments with it, which I haven't done those in a long time, have convinced me that it is a good window. It is a good window into your own scrying abilities and a fast track to develop your scrying abilities. Now, another interesting device I'd like to tell you about was very big. Most people have not heard about it any these days, simply because a lot of this information just doesn't apply anymore. But back in the 90s, during the Cold War, United States and Russia were trying everything to get advantage on one another, and there was psychic espionage, and they were testing psychics in the lab and doing everything they could to get to build a psychic black ops. It was called PsyOps, and there was a device called a Kozyrev mirror. That's Kozyrev, if you want to Google it, and it's a device made from aluminum or glass or some sort of reflective mylar. It was a spiral mirror, and according to certain theories, it could focus different types of radiation. Presumably, it was meant to used for stellar exploration, but apparently, it could focus radiation coming from biological objects. And it was named after this astronomer, Kozyrev. And they were using experiments related to extrasensory perception in the Institute of Experimental Medicine of Siberia. Now, if that doesn't send cold chills up your spine, I don't know what will. The Institute of Experimental Medicine of Siberia. So, you know, Siberia is a prison colony. So so people who would go into the cylindrical spirals went into altered states. And this has been documented. It just freaks your mind out, and you go into altered states, and many people experienced out-of-body experiences and heightened sensory perceptions and all sorts of stuff. So that's just something else you can experiment with. Get a giant sheet of mylar and twist it into a spiral. The spiral is a mathematical formula similar to a conch shell or a nautilus shell. It's 1.5 degrees per turn or something like that, but you can find it on the internet. And between the psychomantium and the Kozyrev mirror, I look forward to hearing some of the experiences that you may have. I'm quite anxious to hear about that. So that's some of the things that we're dealing with there. Looks like we have some people over there on the switchboard. If you'd like to get your call through, just dial 1, hit 1, and raise your hand, and I will go over there and put you over here if you have any questions. We're taking calls now. We're having calls for questions, for readings, for whatever you like. It's free for all here. Which caller has done that there, Myrtle, the switchboard operator? I don't know how to recognize this. Oh, okay. So I just hit the microphone? Okay, very good. And caller, you're on the air.
Hi, is that me?
That's you, yes.
Yeah, hi, John. Just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy the show, and I've learned a lot, even with the first two programs, I've learned a lot.
Thank you.
Question is, I was wondering if you can still do the work with crystal points, or is that harder than using a crystal ball?
I think you can do work with crystal points. You can do projection. In fact, the colors apply. And if you want to do work with crystal points, you can certainly do it. The projection and reception applies. And in fact, some crystals lend themselves particularly to that work. Mr. Conlon did not write about crystal points, but you certainly can. You certainly can. You know, you can use rose quartz for love, attraction, and you can use green stones for love. And you know, we discuss the use of certain stones, certain crystals for activating money projections and love projections and luck projections. So you certainly can. Yes, quartz makes a fine projection.
And they have to be clear quartz?
Not necessarily, because, you know, scrying stones can be black. They can be obsidian, palm stones and palm stones, which I didn't get a chance to discuss yet, but palm stones are sort of a regular shaped stone that you hold in the palm of your hand, and it looks like you have a handful of black ink if it's obsidian. And you focus on the palm stone and concentrate and have visions. You know, you see scrying. It's like looking in a bowl of ink. You hold these palm stones in your hand, and if you have an obsidian sphere, you know, that's completely opaque. So they don't have to be clear. They don't have to be clear, no, not at all. Not at
okay,
all.
Okay, well, I think that answers my question.
Okay.
Okay, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome, and, you know, thanks for listening to the show.
It's a great show. I think more people need to listen.
Well, tell them. Bring a friend next time.
Okay. Will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was an excellent question. Now, you know, there's a number of, as we said, a number of crystals that lend themselves to this. For instance, for divination, we know that moonstone is very good for that. We know that citrine, we know that chalcedony is very good for divination. So there's a great number of stones that lend themselves to that. We know, we discussed this before, that there are stones that are good for attracting money. We know hematite is good for money. We know that malachite is good for money. We know that there's a number of stones that are very good for different types of things. Rose quartz, very good for love spells. And do we have any other callers? Yes, I believe we do. Let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
This is Catherine Ironwood. Hi.
Well, hi, Catherine.
Hi. I couldn't help but jump in because I heard that last caller, and
yes,
she did bring up something so important about crystal points, and you answered her, but she asked a question that I get asked a lot in my shop, and I wanted to just throw my little 2 cents in. She asked, do they have to be clear, or can they be opaque? And you mentioned some great opaque things like obsidian, but I want to mention one that's both a crystal point and opaque, okay? So that would be two strikes against it, right? But actually, it's one of the best crystals of all, and that is black tourmaline.
Oh, yeah.
And black tourmaline is both a point, and, well, it's actually kind of a series of long, thin, needle-like crystals, and it is, so it's directional, and it is solid pitch black. And black tourmaline is used to repel evil, and it can be used both actively and passively. And I know a number of people who wear a black tourmaline point, which they have had a base put on it, like of silver, and then wear it on a necklace pointing downward, and that is to, it's like repelling all evil. But I also know people who are cursers, they will curse people, and they'll use that black tourmaline in their hand like a wand of doom, as it may be. And I'm talking serious. And point that thing, you hold it in your hand like you would hold a javelin, upright in your hand, you know what I'm saying, with your little fingers out, your thumb in, and you hold that thing and you go, God damn you to hell, and you stab into the air with this black tourmaline. It will seriously mess people up. So,
it's a dark crystal, yes.
It is. And so black tourmaline is both opaque and it is a point, literally a directional crystal. So I just had to throw that in. Have you ever worked with it yourself, John?
Tourmaline I have, yes. And you're right, it's a dark crystal, and it's also a protective crystal. And we were talking about that very thing earlier, about using protection when you're working with a crystal. And that would be a very good protective crystal to use, to wear, if you're doing protective work. And what are your thoughts, Catherine, about that, about cleansing or cleaning yourself before or after you're doing crystal work with a crystal ball?
Well, I'm not a big cleanser. I'm one of those people who just sort of tries to work clean-handed the whole time. I've never had any problems with it.
I've never had any problems with crystal work attracting negative energy entities or anything.
Well, you know, it is like setting up a beacon, and if you have enemies, they'll see it. I mean, especially if you're working with the points. And this is one thing about the crystal points as opposed to the spheres. I'm going to speak from experience. If you work with a crystal sphere and you send, whether it's positive or negative, it's sort of omnidirectional. If you send with a point, it's like sending with a butted candle. It's directional, and they can trace it back to you. But on the other hand, you can put up protection using crystals. We know these old traditional ways. I work in hoodoo, so that's more of African-American way of working. We put up things like bay leaves for invisibility in the four corners of a room, or four coins, and you know, whatever it may be that we're going to use, or four camphor blocks with four dimes, one dime on each camphor block, things like that to protect if we're going to be doing something that needs protection. But I have been taught that you can also use black tourmaline that way. But this was not out of hoodoo, but this was out of crystal people, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah.
And when I say crystal, you don't know what I mean. When I say the crystal people, there used to be a store down in Sebastopol, California, and the name of the store was the Crystal People. And the Crystal People retired, and we bought out their stock, and we have a lot of material that they turned us on to. But they were good teachers. They knew a lot. But one of the things that the older woman there said was, if you are feeling that you need protection, put four pieces of black tourmaline in the four corners of your room, pointing outward. And I'm like, I've heard this before, but in hoodoo with other things. But it will work.
Yeah, okay.
And then to cleanse yourself, if you've done dark work, I was always taught to take a bath with hyssop. You can make hyssop oil, hyssop with olive oil, or just hyssop tea, bathe with it, and drink a little of the hyssop tea. Make it diluted. You don't want it too strong. And it cleanses yourself inside and out, and recite Psalms 51 from the Bible. That's what I was taught in hoodoo. As far as cleansing crystals, my old friend and coworker Susie Bosselman used to cleanse her crystals with salt. And I know people who cleanse them in sand or earth. And that's fine. That's good enough for me. I don't go through a lot of special stuff. Some crystals you cannot put vinegar on them or ammonia, they'll dissolve the stone,
water. Yeah.
I tend to just go with, you know, what is appropriate. I study my minerals. But I will say that black tourmaline is something that has many, many uses. And I'm going to tell you one just off the top of my head that I have done. If you don't like somebody, if you really don't like somebody, you want to really protect yourself from them, and yet also maybe cause them to feel a little bit of the sting of their evil, you can actually make a little dish. I use like a little saucer that goes under a potted plant. And I like a pretty one. I tend to like them to be pretty. And, you know, nice glazed color. And I will fill it with red pepper flakes. I like the flakes as much as I like the powder, but you could use the powder. And I might mix that in with a little bit of other nasty things, but just red peppers enough. And you put that black tourmaline in it. This is very similar to what a reversing candle would be like, and you would work with it in a similar way. Right? And you would just say, now, you put that up. That is both protection and a reversal unto them. But you got to call into it what you want. You know, so-and-so, if you send any evil to me, let it come into this black tourmaline, turn around and go right back out to you, redoubled and red hot. Right?
Excellent.
That's how I do it. Yeah. Excellent. And that's a permanent little setup. In other words, that's from the direction of which you know your enemy is living. And if you really know where they're living, I mean, if you seriously know their house, put four of them around the block they live on and put them in the bushes on other people's land so they're boxed in with four black tourmalines. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We do all kinds of stuff. But, see, that's kind of like hoodoo as applied to crystals. It's a
that's
crossing.
That's our crystal of the week and our spell of the week.
well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get so deep into it, but when the caller said opaque points, oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes.
Well, thank you for that.
Sure. And I love your show. I just love it. And you're doing great work here, John. Thank you, Catherine.
And, of course, it's a good time to thank our sponsor, Lucky Mojo.
Well, I'll say goodbye while you do that, or I'll blush embarrassedly. Talk to you later,
well,
honey. All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, Catherine. Bye-bye. And, of course, a good time to thank our sponsor, Lucky Mojo Curio Company, a great place to buy black tourmaline and, of course, any other hoodoo product you'd like to bless, curse, cleanse, or any of your hoodoo needs. Well, my goodness, we got that took care of our stone of the week, stone crystal of the week, and our spell of the week. So I get to save mine for next week. That's very good. Gosh, thanks for that. That's wonderful, and that also addresses our topic of how to protect yourself or how to cleanse yourself if you're doing crystal work. Well, my goodness, it's about time for our meditation, isn't it? And as we hit the holidays, there's going to be a lot of stress. There's going to be a lot of anxiety as you go out to the malls doing your holiday shopping, if you do that, if you do that sort of thing. And even if you don't, you're going to be dealing with people who do. And so let's all get very, very relaxed and prepare ourselves for our meditation. And, of course, let me run through our lineup very quickly, our LMC Radio Network lineup. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Candelo's Corner, Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Crystal Silence League Hour, which you're listening to now, with John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Followed by In the Streets with Beverly Smith, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Liquid Libations Radio, where poetry and the spoken word comes alive, with Andrea Weston, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And so everyone now get comfortable. If you can sit lotus style, by all means do so. If not, just slump back in your chair. And let's get started. Take a deep breath. And let it out. And another one. And let it out in the biggest breath of all. And let it out like you're letting go of a long day and just setting the burden down. And now as you breathe in and out, just focus on your breath. Breathing naturally. In and out, just like so. In and out. And as you do, just feel the relaxation going down, down, down. And the sound you hear is my cat destroying my desk. Just ignore him. And push that relaxation down like warm water from your shoulders and down, down, down into the floor. And notice how the floor supports you comfortably, how your seat is being supported. And let your attention focus on your hands laying there comfortably. And bring your attention down into your fingers. One by one, your thumb, your first finger, your second, your third finger, and your pinky finger. And as you concentrate, bring your focus back in into your middle, into your center. And know that as you listen to my voice, know that you're peaceful and content, and that everything is just right, everything is just as it should be, and hold that warm and content thought, and hold it to yourself. And take a deep breath. And let it out and let that peaceful and content feeling condense into a small ball. And that ball I would like you to put into the crystal. And even if you don't have a crystal, I'd like you to visualize the crystal sitting in front of you, spinning. And put that feeling of peace and goodwill, of loving kindness in that ball. And let it spin there, and just push that feeling into that ball, and it spins. And as it spins, it gains momentum. And it just hangs there spinning peacefully. And you are that ball. You are that spinning, peaceful ball. And take a deep breath and push that ball out like a soap bubble out into the world. And as it floats out and spins in the world, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that ball of peace and contentment grows bigger and bigger and surrounds you and surrounds everyone you know, everyone you love. And as that ball gets bigger and bigger, it fills with peace and contentment. Remember, you are that ball. It surrounds you. It surrounds everyone. It gets bigger and bigger. And as it gets bigger and bigger, it just fills with peace and contentment. You become more and more relaxed, deeper and deeper into relaxation. And you know that when you go to sleep tonight, you will fall into a deep and peaceful sleep. Because tomorrow is 1,000 miles away. Yesterday, just a cloud on the horizon. And there's just the now, the peaceful and content now. And you're giving it to everyone on earth. You're wishing them peace and contentment. And love and happiness. Now that ball gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it encompasses everything. And now begin to bring that ball very slowly back down, down, down. Bring it back down, down, down into yourself. Back down in front of you. And as you bring it back down in front of you, it gets smaller and smaller. Nice little amber yellow ball. And it gets small enough where you can reach out with your hand and grasp it, which you do. It into your hand and bring it back in front of you. And you claim it for yourself. And now you take a deep breath and let it out. And as you do, if your eyes are closed, you open them now. And you begin to breathe normally. And you would come back into this world and this reality. And you're fully aware. And fully at peace and fully comfortable. And thank you so much for joining me in this. I'm John St. Germain. This has been the Crystal Silence League Radio Hour. I hope to see you next week. Same time and same place. Coming up next is In the Streets of Beverly Smith. Please join her. And thank you very much. And goodbye.